Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 60. Technically a guestless episode, though we are not referring to them as guestless any longer. Thanks to Topher, commenter on the Nerdist.com website, we are now referring to them as hostful. The badass fiddlin' you're listening to is Sarah Watkins. The song is called Friedrich. If you want to hear more of Sarah Watkins, you can listen to the Nerdist episode number 22. Or you can buy her self-titled album, Sarah Watkins, on the iTunes. The following shows require your attendance. March 2nd through 5th, I will be at the Punchline in San Francisco. Then the 16th through the 19th at Zany's in Chicago. Then April 8th, I will be at Hukelau in Chicopee, Massachusetts. Tiny Bubbles will probably be performed. Then April 9th, the Wilbur Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. Please come to one or all of these shows. All right, here you go. The Nerdist episode number 60, Hostful Goodness.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey guys, I think we're recording.
That's a good way to.
Yeah.
Could be the new theme song.
Whoa.
Season two. Guys, it's season two.
Whoa.
Of the Nerdist Podcast. It was 1 year ago today.
Super Bowl Sunday.
All right, so it wasn't 1 year ago today. It wasn't on this date.
Listen.
But it was 1 year ago.
Super Bowl Sunday is our anniversary.
It was Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah. Let's just take a trip down memory lane. It'd be just like my mom. Like every year at my birthday, she tells a story about how when I was born, there was snow outside.
They were birthed.
And in the hospital. And
it snows in Tennessee?
Yeah. And she probably didn't talk about how I temporarily destroyed the lower half of her body, but it doesn't matter because she's fine now.
I was just shitting, Christopher.
I was just
shitting. It's what happens. It's not gross. It's the gift of life.
Shitting Christopher is going to be the name of my album. I don't
shitting
know if
Christopher.
You guys are,
yeah.
If you guys are cool with that or not. But, yeah, so, you know, I was supposed to do this show last year, and it got canceled. It ended up not getting picked up, so I got all mad. So I said, God damn it, I'm sick of being kicked around by this entertainment business, so I'm going to do my own thing. So I called you, Jonah. I called Matthew. And I said, it was a Thursday, and I said, hey, do you guys want to start a podcast? And you said, sure. So we called our buddy Tom Lennon, and then we went to Tom's house on Super Bowl Sunday. And recorded a podcast, and we've been doing them ever since.
And he left shortly after the podcast was finished to dig his friend out of the side of a mountain. His friend's house had a mudslide, remember? He got his boots and shovel, and then he took off.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because Matt, because, you know, Tom Lennon is an adventurer comedian. So he will he will make you laugh, but he'll also find the Ark of the Covenant.
But he does favors. Yesterday I was walking, and Tom came by. He's like, first he asked me if I wanted a hand job because he pulled up in his car.
That's appropriate. That's very appropriate.
Hey, like, want a hand job?
He's like, hey, I'm going. My friend's alarm got set off. They're on vacation, but it was inadvertent, so I got to go turn it off. You want to come? I was like, all right.
Wow.
So we did that. Yeah, he's a good dude. Away.
He is a good dude.
Great guy.
Yeah. So that happened that day, too, which is, I thought it was really funny. He's like, oh, yeah, a bunch of people are going there to help dig him out because it was like a mudslide. And they were like, well, we're going to go get food.
Yeah. I got to go dig myself out of this hunger pit because I have not eaten today.
Oh, where did we go?
Hold on. We went to the corner.
Yeah, we did go to the corner. Yeah. That's right. And we just kind of sat and talked about, this is really fun. I think we should keep doing this. I wonder if anyone's going to listen.
Probably not. I mean, I remember the whole thing was like, we were saying like, well, it'll probably take a while to build up, but once it does, we'll probably have a pretty good following.
I don't know. We'll see. You know, we'll see. The market's pretty crowded out there, but you know, I guess we'll just try it and see what happens.
Oh, guys, the Sports Center sound happened on my phone.
Oh, is that?
Boston's up 46-43.
In the Super Bowls?
Yep.
Nope.
Oh.
No. Boston's in the Super Bowl this year, right?
NBA.
Mm.
National Bowling Association?
The other one.
That's the PBA.
Yeah,
is there an NBA?
No. It's the PBA and the ABC. And then I think they might have merged.
East Coast Family? It was the PBA, NBC, the East Coast Family?
Yeah, they became Belle Biv DeVoe.
If you guys want to know fascinating things about Chris Hardwick and his life as the son of a bowler, listen to The Last Scarborough Country from 2 weeks ago. He tells very interesting stories.
Nice. We had a lot. There were a lot of bowling stories,
like stuff I've never heard.
You
didn't know any of that stuff.
Like a lot of that stuff. I was like, what?
Yeah. So I don't want to rehash it. But
did
if you listen
know he
to
was
bowling on
the...
Captain Kangaroo.
But if you, yes,
and Mike, what Mike Douglas?
What Mike, the yes. Mike Douglas show, Mike Douglas against Jimmy Walker. I wish I had footage of that stuff. I don't know where any of that stuff
was. Let's
go
to the archives.
That's where the internet fails. It's weird.
The internet fails at clips of you on Mike Douglas as a child.
God damn it. I can't get away from the Boy Meets World episode I did, but I can't find the fucking Mike Douglas episode.
Wait, what? You were in a Boy Meets World?
Didn't know that?
Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
You were as yourself. Will Friedle's character came unsingled out, and Jenny was mysteriously not there, but no one seemed to question it. But the reality was she just didn't want to do it because she was getting too famous. So she was like, I'm not going to do Boy Meets World.
That show started off as a very standard, you know, young, skewed sitcom, and then maybe three seasons in, something happened. They're like, fuck it, let's just get funny and weird. And they did a great job like that. I started watching again.
I was always very annoyed at how they just completely changed the character of Topanga from a weird sort of flighty new age medicine-y kind of girl that Corey hated to always been the love of his life.
Yeah.
It was what are you gonna do? It was an odd choice. I'm gonna not watch it.
And then they brought back the younger sister who had been gone for like a few seasons.
Boy Meets World on Netflix instant watch.
Yeah. But remember like the little sister was in the kitchen and someone's like, where have you been? She's like, in my room. For how long? A while. And that was how they brought back the sister after being gone for a few seasons.
They never brought back the younger sister.
I had no idea this was going to turn into Boy Meets World cast.
Sorry.
Well, we have a guest star in our presence.
That's true. Yeah. Please. I know. I'm going to be at BMWCon this year talking about how
Mr.
I was,
Matthews.
That's not the car. It's the Boy Meets World con. Then we're going to talk about how I was on Boy Meets World.
But anyway, it's been a year. It's been a great year. Yeah. We've gone to New York. We've gone to
New York, Seattle,
San Francisco.
Listen, I'm not going to pretend that. I mean, this podcast went way better than I thought it was going to. It really did.
Yeah.
So I have nothing but good things to say. And
listen, it gets me out of the house once a week.
It gets you out of tech support once a week. I'm not trying to bring my phone I don't know what happened. It's just not working. Yeah, well, it indicates in here that you dropped this in water. Oh, I don't. I mean,
that must have.
Are you saying I spilled water? And then I have to say to them, no, I'm just saying that water.
Are you saying I accidentally watched this in a pair of my pants? Because that didn't happen.
Sir, I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that at some point the phone came in contact with water.
And it says so right here. But this has been a super fun week. I hosted the Polestar Awards last night, which actually would be Saturday.
Which I looked up on the internet to find out what they were.
They were super fun.
Apparently
it's an industry event, and it's for people, you know, it's for touring entities. And so it's like, it's, you know, band managers and venues.
Oh,
and
the most interesting part of music.
You know, actually, I'm telling you, these people are interesting because they fucking party and they drink and they're fun. So
but the award for what was it, best, I read it online before I came here, best tour theme or something like that, went to Carole King and James Taylor.
Did you
see that tour? Oh my
I totally would have.
Well, I would have seen it, no doubt about that, but I'm just saying, really, the best
What do you want? What's the, what about
I
what's
the rest good? Premise?
What's the theme of a tour you've ever seen besides besides Dave Matthews'
the
theme?
The theme of his favorite tours are freeform jazz.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, it's fusion.
Yeah. So is fucking Pan American Asian food.
Yep, that's true. But I'm not going to tour around the country to see that. Oh, poor man. Matt Myra. I feel so bad. I feel so bad that you don't have any good concerts to go to this
it's
year.
It's all right. I'll manage.
You going to be okay?
I'll see a Ben Folds show. That's what I'll do.
I would love to see Ben Folds. I would love to have Ben Folds on this show.
I would love to have Ben Folds.
Speaking
on the
of
show.
People on the show, in the comment threads of the last Guestless podcast, I see a comment from a gentleman named Scott Sanders who
yes.
directed and co-wrote Black Dynamite.
Black Dynamite, as we've stated before, one of the best comedies to come out in the last decade.
It was
or
the
so.
Best movie of 2009, yes, hands best, down. In my opinion, best movie of
best
2009.
Movie. Yeah.
And so we've been blabbing about it for ages. You blabbed about it first.
Yeah, I was.
And I finally relented because of your unflappable chatter. and Janet and I sat down to watch it and we're like, all right, you know, just don't expect it. And it was fucking awesome.
Have
and
I
I've since
you
seen
wrong?
It numerous times. No. Mm. No.
See?
No.
Trust me.
I do.
Come with
okay.
me, Christopher.
Where are we going?
Going to the sky.
Black Dynamite Land.
This is scary.
Black Dynamite Land's actually
yeah.
fierce. So he wrote, and I wrote him back, and I said, hey, I hope you're the real Scott Sanders and not some weird internet person. So Scott Sanders I talked to via the internet, and it turns out he's the real Scott Sanders. And
how did you verify this? Did you ask Twitter?
here's my verification process. Are you really Scott Sanders? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Good enough for me.
Here's my home address and social security number.
Come on over.
So shoot.
Don't stop at the ATM. Here's my bank routing number. So so he said he's going to come on. And you know what I think I want to start doing? Because this week, well, this will have just happened last night, but Will Wheaton coming to the Smod Castle, we're going to do a small
that
mini,
was so
mini
much
live
fun,
event.
You
it
was guys, a lot of fun.
We so we're
going to
do it again
show.
With Will. And I ran into my friend John August, who is a writer, who has written such films as Go and Big Fish. And like he's fucking incredible.
He wrote Big Fish?
Yeah.
That's one of only two movies that ever made me cry.
Oh,
really?
What was the
yeah.
other one?
A baseball movie.
Awakenings.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All
that's
right.
fine.
You know what? I got that. That's fine. Yeah. That's
really?
Fine. But if you were going to be like Eight Men Out, I'd be like, get the fuck out of this.
Not
video.
Even, not even like My Left Foot. You didn't cry at My
no.
Left Foot. Wow.
No.
Didn't fucking Heart of Stone here.
I'll cry at your actual left foot.
It is pretty hilarious.
Would that be weird?
Pretty sad.
Look at the way the nail curls.
Just when he's at his dad's funeral and he realizes that his dad was just telling stories that were sort of based in reality, just reminded me of
Gee,
my dad.
Spoiler alert. Like, if you haven't seen that movie by now, you probably aren't going to. But John has a really great blog where he gives a lot of advice to writers, and he's a really smart, super, super nice guy. So I think, you know, we might start doing some more regular live shows. So, like, with John August, what I want to pitch to him is, let's have you come and, you know, we'll record at the Smod Castle or wherever we can get some space. And then we'll have some writers come and we'll talk to you. And then people can ask questions. So maybe we'll do the same thing with Scott Sanders.
We'll try to do it like Thursday nights.
Because Black Dynamite, because Black Dynamite is a low budget movie that they just, it was a labor of love for them. Yeah. And it, you know, and it's, I think it should go in the archives as one of the great comedies.
Yeah. I think they could put it right next to Airplane, right next to Top Secret.
I so wanted to ask the Zucker Brothers about it. When I forgot because I couldn't stop. I kept feeling like I was in a dream state the whole time that I was moderating with them. Did I really just watch it? It's like a weird dream. Like, I had this weird dream that I watched Airplane with a bunch of people, and then afterwards I talked to the Zucker Brothers and Jim Abrams and Robert Hayes. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So I you know, I wasn't fully in my right mind.
Awesome. I was really bummed that I couldn't go see Cloris Leachman showing High Anxiety at the San Francisco Sketch Fest.
That would have been incredible.
That would have been incredible.
Yeah, I heard all the panels were great though. I heard the Candace Bergen panel was really great, and nice. and DeVito and James L. Brooks I heard was awesome, and Janet Janet just texted me this morning and said I just spent all last night hanging out with David Byrne.
No way.
Yeah.
So, did he ride his bike to San Francisco from?
You know,
New York?
I saw him in New York once, just like walking into a cafe, and he just like had a backpack on and a hat, and like.
That's actually I saw Mike Myers walking around New York once, and he just like looked like a little. He looked like Bruce McCullough's character Gavin.
Like, this one time,
yeah, he was
these
just like
guys
walking with his hands on
then
the straps.
I saw And then there was...
I love it when they killed off his mom, the character. Yeah. His mom's funeral.
That's right.
You're not talking about Mike Myers, right? You're talking about Kevin.
I'm talking about that, yeah.
It's almost like Us Magazine's right, Jonah. Stars are just like people. I mean, they're not like us. Genetically, they're not like us. But we can't breed with them. It'd be like if a human tried to fuck a baboon. We're the baboons. We could not produce viable offspring.
But it would be a lot of fun.
It really would.
It would be. It'd be a wild time.
Yeah, just a swollen, red, flowering baboon anus. Yeah,
exactly. Just a lot of
that
cushion.
Is the rest of the plebeians being mm-hmm. us.
I don't know about you guys. Seeing that gorilla walk upright, I was just like, oh, now it makes so much sense.
I see it now.
Yeah. Man, not the evolution thing, but more just the, fuck, I can fuck a gorilla right now.
When they're down on their knuckles, like, ugh.
You
stand them up, and it's stand like, all right, up. I see your gorilla tits. I'm in.
I'm just like, now I have to be more terrified of gorillas than I was previously.
You know,
there's just a gorilla knocking on a door.
Oh, fuck.
Chimp tits are so weird, because they just, like, hang over your hand like a pancake. Like, I just can't get on board that. But gorillas, they're muscular. They're in good shape. They work out.
Yeah, they do.
They really know how to do it right. They really know how to do it right. What are we really talking about here?
As people are turning off their iPods.
You know what, though? Our gorilla demographic just went way up.
Oh, shit.
Way up.
What's with these numbers? Where are they coming from?
Over your hand like a pancake, yeah. People.
All these numbers are coming from the Pacific Northwest.
Let's just do a little role-playing. So you're in the jungle, and I'm going to put on the big game hunter. No, baby, it's okay, it's okay. Like the gorilla attacks. Don't try to role play with a gorilla. If you're gonna fuck him, just get in there and do your business. Just do not try
to watch a gorilla movie.
And also,
don't appreciate romance.
And yeah, so don't make eye contact.
Do not make eye contact. In fact, it's better just to face the gorilla the other way. Yeah. Otherwise, he will rip your cock and face off.
Cock and face
simultaneously. Yeah.
What was that? There was that old Brian Posehn joke where he's talking about like the guy that got like torn apart by like a chimpanzee, and he says like the guy like the chimp like tore off the dude's genitals and then like started like gnawing off his foot.
Yeah.
And he says even though he's going through the immense pain of like his foot being chewed off while he's still alive, he was still thinking about his junk being pulled off.
Yeah. Brian Posehn. I love that big huggable guy.
Star Wars. Slayer. He's a delight.
So I started we actually have a sponsor for
what?
This episode. We have some sponsors rolling in.
Because we just asked?
Yes.
It's coming.
Isn't that weird? I know, Matthew. Matthew, soon we are going to be able to unfetter you from the binds of your tech support. Prison.
Then I can tell you what really goes on there, guys.
Yeah, then you can. No, don't, because if the podcast nosedives, you're going to need a place to go back to.
Oh, it'll happen. It'll fucking happen.
Yeah, so, you know, let's save the stories for like when we're a few months out, and then we'll see if we can get some cash rolling in. Don't like day one be like, here's what they make you do, and then here's all their policies, and then the emails come down from the Dark Overlord.
And then everyone's like, hey, my iTunes subscription isn't working anymore. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You know, in fact, it's better off if we just...
I love everything.
Thank you. Me too. Everyone's rad.
Back to the sponsor.
Yeah, so the sponsor thing. I actually started, and I started a Facebook fan page for The Nerdist.
Please.
Don't tell me that's our sponsor.
Please.
No. Yeah, we're sponsoring our own podcast. Yeah.
Chris hands
guys,
himself $20.
Guys, if we're excited about it, other people will be excited about it. You got to believe in yourself.
You got to believe.
Chris now advertises Nerdist, the website, on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, no, because I was able to get Facebook.com/Nerdist, which is good. And, you know, I had resisted Facebook for so long, but what I've come to realize is that it's finally catching, not going anywhere, it is like an important metric for sponsors. Most of them always ask, what's your Facebook number? And like, fuck. So, you know, if you're out there and you're listening and you want to just like the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/Nerdist. It would be helpful
please,
to us. So we
help
can
me and eventually.
And then
so
we can look at your site and
so
your
we can
Facebook
get sponsors like Tweaked Audio.
Oh, fuck.
They make earbuds.
Oh, nice.
Tweaked Audio make. Every time I hear earbuds, I can't. I think of Airbud.
Spell it. Yeah, unfortunately. Spell that.
Tweaked Audio. TweakedAudio.
Tweaked Audio, folks.
Tweaked Audio. So they have three styles. They have Tweaked, Tweaked Classic, and Tweaked Natural. Seven colors: red, blue, green, pink, black, silver, and wood.
Oh, that sounds really
good. Wood is a color
and
a material.
None of that boring white shit.
Nope, none of that boring white shit that we all have in our ears. But they actually are designed to sound great for music, for talk. They have noise reduction design, and of course they're compatible with everything. And so this is a special offer that they're giving Nerdist podcast listeners. If you go to tweakedaudio.com/Nerdist, you will get $10 off the retail price. So you can get earbuds. You can get some really cool earbuds for $19.95.
And plus, you probably won't get mugged because they're all looking for white headphones.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, that guy's got an iPhone.
If you lose your white headphones, $30 if you lose your white headphones.
Yeah.
But if you go to tweakedaudio.com/Nerdist, you can get them for $19.95. If you need some headphones, go grab those.
We'll sound better. I'll sound less
as
monotone.
Many as you can grab so many.
I'll sound a little less nasally and monotone with these headphones. So
they have a nasal reduction. Filter,
and they should have a food filter so we can continue to eat without getting complaints on the podcast.
This is the last high pressure promo thing that I want to talk about. But I'm performing at the Wilbur Theater in Boston,
folks.
Do you know the Wilbur? Have you been to the Wilbur?
I'm familiar with the Wilbur. It's in the theater district. You could have a nice dinner right by there. Maybe walk over from Faneuil Hall. Go see Christopher.
Yeah,
what is April 9th?
April 9th. Yeah, I've been very honest about it, and I will probably talk about this show a handful of times before April 9th, because it's the biggest solo venue that I've ever performed in. I almost fill my pants with shit every time I talk about
Here's
it. Like, I don't know
do.
If that many people are going to come out and see me. So if you've ever been entertained by the podcast, please come out to the show. I want to make it an event. Like, I want people to dress up in costumes of like whatever they're nerding out over, come to the show. And then, you know, at some point, you know, we'll be able to do a Nerdist tour. I mean, it's not going to be a Nerdist tour this time.
I have family over there. Buy a goddamn ticket for Chris's show.
Yeah, come on, Matt's family. Come on, Matt's family.
You know what you can do, folks in Boston? You could maybe go to that church that Ben Franklin was baptized at and then walk over to Chris.
Sorry I didn't make it to your show, Chris. I just couldn't stop staring at the baptismal font where Tiny Benjamin Franklin was creating a tiny post office.
Aw, Tiny Benjamin Franklin.
Tiny Benjamin Franklin.
Tiny Benjamin.
Tiny Benjamin Franklin Chronicles. Anyone? All right, patent it. You patent show ideas, right?
Damn. Wilbur is beautiful. What happened?
It's beautiful. It's a good venue, but it does hold 1,000 people. And, just a little background, the way that this kind of stuff works is when you make the switch to larger theater venues, you do it by going in with a really low guarantee where you're like, look, just don't give me any money. If people show up, then I'll take money then, you know? Right. So that's why there's no money to bring you guys. I mean, like, there's literally no money.
No, we weren't asking.
So the money only comes in if people show up. But, you know, if some of these shows start working out, then we could actually, you know, I want to do a Nerdist College tour with you guys so bad. I think that would be so much fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
I'll do it.
You know what? You'll do it?
Although young kids, college kids make me uncomfortable.
That's okay.
Find out
how old you are.
They're cool.
Yeah.
They're cool, man.
They're cool. No, they're cool.
We'll go hang out at their frat parties afterwards.
I did that once, and it was weird.
Oh yeah, I did that
of
once.
Of course,
when I was,
it would be
when I was
weird.
In my 20s.
I didn't go to college. I was like, oh, I want to see what a frat party is like. And then I went, and it was just the worst experience. I felt so uncomfortable when I talked to a kid. I was trying to talk about something, and he's like, I don't know.
I know what you're talking about. I gotta go date rape someone.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said.
Oh shit! Yeah. Really? Wow. Yeah. So anyway, April 9th at the Wilbur Theater, you can get details for the tickets on the website at Nerdist.com.
Don't disappoint me, hometown.
If you like The Fighter.
If you like The Fighter, you'll fucking love Chris at the Wilbur.
How long have you been away from Boston, Matthew Meyer?
4 years on the 27th of this month.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you miss it?
I do, but not as much as I used to. I go back 3 or 4 times a year.
Los Angeles sucks all the miss away.
It sort of does. It's weird. LA sort of. When I go home now, home to Boston, I miss home.
I gotta tell you though, even the most vehement LA haters has to be enjoying waking up every day for the past 2 weeks to 65 degrees and clear skies.
I'm wearing shorts.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard when the rest of the country is under, you know, a natural ejaculate of ice.
This was mean the other day. John, my funeral home, John friend. John McDonough, he sent me a picture. He said, that's a 4-foot fence. And there was like this much, like maybe 6 inches of fence coming through. I went outside immediately, took a picture and said, that's a 60-foot palm tree.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you worked at the funeral home?
I worked at the funeral home. It was good times.
Was it really good times?
I enjoyed it.
He looks back on it fondly.
I love it because I was working with my two best friends. So it would be like if the three of us had to go work at a funeral home.
That sounds horrible.
It would probably be hilarious.
Guys, 6 feet under the sitcom.
There it is.
Come on.
Yeah.
Don't. That's my idea.
I'm sorry.
Don't.
Sorry.
I already registered there with a WGA. Come on.
You guys, I sent myself a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Yeah. Poor man's copyright.
Oh, God.
So why did you go to work? And now, and by the way, I do want to tell you that my grandfather, my mother's father, mm-hmm. before he opened some bowling centers that ultimately my parents met at, he worked at a funeral home.
Wow. Like as a funeral director? Did he own a funeral home? Or
I can't remember. I think he might have been a mortician.
Okay.
What was the name? What's the name of the place?
Which one? The McDonough Funeral Home?
The McDonough Funeral Home.
Yeah, what's the name of the McDonough Funeral
Home? McDonough Funeral Home.
Yeah,
Lowell, Massachusetts. They just bought a second funeral home.
Oh!
They bought Mahoney's in Lowell also.
Oh. Mahoney! Oh, yeah. Opened by Steve Guttenberg.
Opened by...
Yes.
Mahoney!
It's a Police Academy-themed funeral home.
I think a Police Academy-themed funeral home would be really great. Yeah. You could get the Hightower package.
When I was a kid...
Yeah, that's the different size of caskets.
That's
a huge
casket.
We got the Sweepy.
Yep.
Wait, what was
the what?
The Sweet...
What was
the small guy? What was his name in the?
Oh, Mr. Sweet Chucks?
David Spade.
Sweet Chucks.
David Spade.
Yeah, he was the small one. He was small, right?
Tim Kazurinski, right?
Tim Kazurinski.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Don't move, zip your lip, and pay your respects to the deceased.
Remember the Police Academy
Hooks.
Cartoon, Jonah?
What?
You remember the Police Academy cartoon?
No.
I do. There was a cartoon.
Really?
Yeah.
There was a cartoon about everything. There was a Dumb and Dumber cartoon.
I don't remember that.
Let's get back to your funeral home and how you're going to talk the Madonnas into turning it into a Police Academy themed funeral home.
I would
home.
Love that. That would be fantastic.
And then when someone is eulogizing the person, they can be getting blown under the lectern. Like at the beach.
Wait, what's the difference between a funeral home and a mortuary?
I think that's a well, in Massachusetts,
mortuaries give birth to live young.
Yes.
Oh.
And funeral homes are cold blooded.
But I think mortuaries, I don't know, it might be just another name, or because Massachusetts is, they have crazy monopoly laws, so like funeral home can't also have a crematory
Thimble.
And also have like a flower
Boot.
Shop and also have like a cemetery.
Yeah, car.
Whereas here in LA, you know, you go to like Forest Lawn or you go to Hollywood Forever and it's everything's in-house.
Yeah.
They can't do that in Massachusetts.
Oh, where are we going to get all these irises to put on graves?
I know.
In Hawaii, there was the best name for a mortuary. It was a
Borthwick.
Yes, Borthwick Mortuary. Thanks for stepping on my thing. The thing that you know about, but no one else knows about.
I love saying it.
Well, we got to hear it from both of you.
Borthwick Mortuary.
Borthwick
Mortuary.
Borthwick?
Yeah. It's the best. There's no better
Where
name.
Are my slippers, Borthwick?
Borthwick.
I want to find out why you decided to go work at a funeral home, and...
Yep.
You...
I went because I was hanging around enough that I should have been getting paid.
No,
why were you
hanging around
it?
Because my best friends, John and Joe McDonough, their family owned and ran the funeral home. So when we're hanging around
These
at the house...
These fuckers are wicked dead.
When we're hanging around at the house... They had to go do shit. Like, oh, we got to go pull that casket and bring it up from the showroom. So we'd walk over to the funeral home, which was next door to their house.
Yeah.
We'd walk over and we'd go and do that. And it was the kind of thing where I was around so often that it was like, why don't you just start doing funerals?
Will it be in poor taste if I flyer the funeral home with Wilbur Theater shows?
No.
Okay.
If you want to see the...
Listen, you guys are upset now, but I got a plan to cheer you up. Come to the Wilbur Theater April 9th.
Forget your loved ones with the comedy of Chris Hardwick.
You could use their PA system.
Could I put some sort of a sound device inside the mouth of a dead person? Could they do that? And then when people go up to pay their respects at the wake, I can just have them say, Wilbur Theater.
It would be hard.
April 9th or I shall not rest.
No, he
usually
said to
sewn,
blave.
Their mouths are usually...
To blave.
Usually sewn or glued shut.
So really? Oh, so how does that work?
Shit.
How does that work? Someone dies and you guys are like, all right, we'll be right over. So you go pick up the body.
Go pick up... That's called a removal.
Okay.
So we'll go do a removal if it's at your house or if it's at a... hospital or nursing home, we'll go do that. Pick up the body, take them back to the funeral home, and then the next day you'll
make sure they're dead.
We'll set up an arrangement time where the family will come in for funeral arrangements, and nothing. We don't do anything.
Do you have the body in there, like sitting up in a chair, just to make it
ready to go, just so they're comfortable?
Yeah.
Are those your keys rattling? You have keys? Do you have keys hanging on the side of your pants?
I do. He always has keys.
Make sure and lock up the gym when you're done. You're a janitor.
I don't want them in my pocket. I got a lot of keys.
I hang them too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the odd man out
here.
Where
do you keep all your keys?
In my pocket.
I don't like it bulging out. I got big thighs.
No, all right.
Me too.
Oh, carry on then.
All right. Enough of you, skinny Jim.
Man talk. Yeah, so, we'll, you know, the body is then at the funeral home, and then funeral arrangements happen where the family will pick out a casket, decide if they want the body embalmed, decide if they want an open casket, when they want the wake, what church, what cemetery. All that stuff gets decided, and then you get a funeral. The best funeral you'll ever see.
I feel like we're almost kind of sponsored by McDonough as well.
We should be.
We should get a kickback.
We kind of are, because they moved me out here.
Oh, really?
In a casket?
They made it possible.
Did they put
you in a casket? Well, no, Joe and I drove across country in Mr. McDonough's Escalade. We moved all of our stuff.
Mr. McDonough, you wet yourself.
Why did you use
those
an Escalade?
Those are the characters in Raising Arizona.
A hearse. You should have used a hearse.
We should have. That would be the best way to run drugs, I think. In a casket.
I think that's kind of an obvious choice.
You'd think. Not if you do it under a body.
Under a body?
Yeah, then they're not going to want to look.
Because that's icky.
Right?
Can we not get all anarchist cookbook on everyone all of a sudden? And then you could put a bomb in their dead anus.
Do
and
whatever.
No one ever sniff it out.
No one would ever look at it, guys.
So when the bodies are brought in, do you have to suck all the innards out? Do you do all that stuff?
No, I was a funeral assistant, so you have to be like a licensed embalmer. Yeah, a licensed embalmer to do that stuff. But I could help in the sense that I would get the body on the table, ready to go, and then our embalmer.
Oh, I have to get my embalming license today, but I don't want to wait in the line. Should I make the appointment?
If I didn't move out here, I'd probably.
I failed the first written test.
Doing,
really?
Yeah.
You'd be embalming?
I would have ended up doing that. That's my guess.
But you know what you're doing on this show is that you are embalming unhappiness out of people.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because you're fun and entertaining,
Let's
Matthew.
You're debalming.
I'm debalming.
Yeah, I know, it was real bad.
So the embalmer comes in, and then you guys, do you do the makeup and you put the clothes on them?
Well, a lot of times, yeah. Well, one of us, Joe or John or myself or whatever, get the body dressed and boxed, as they say.
You don't take like weird memento mori pictures with them, do you? Where you try to make them look still alive?
Guys, that's my phone ring. I'm sorry.
That's your TARDIS.
The doctor's calling.
Nice. Did you ever? I turned mine on to airplane.
I should have. I'm sorry.
Did you ever do play some Caribbean music in the hopes that they would get up and start moving around?
Yeah.
Maybe
well, that's where
drum?
That's where you need. That's
no,
where you need
but we would often
Andrew McCarthy and Johnny Silverman, and I know Johnny Silverman.
Johnny
so
Silverman.
Yeah, we're neighbors. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, sorry. Sorry, didn't mean to step on your
his friends
weekend
call
at Bernie's. I mean to step on your weekend at Bernie's joke.
Oh no, just Johnny Silverman. That's very familiar. It's a very familiar way to call some.
I've known him for many years.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
I used to really enjoy The Single Guy.
Single Guy was good.
Single Guy was a fun show.
Ernest Borgnine played the doorman.
Yes, it was on Must See Tuesdays when NBC had two Must See nights.
Yeah. And then
as opposed to?
I mean, Ernest Borgnine has Borg in his name, so I think he should be Ernest Borg 7 of 9.
Ooh,
is that too nerdy?
No, I like it.
Okay.
Weird mashup in my head right now.
You know who I think I'd get on the podcast?
Speaking
of 7 of 9, Jerry Ryan.
We can get Jerry Ryan on the podcast.
She followed me on Twitter for some reason, and she's awesome. And
for some reason, Chris,
we've been
you're pals. So great on Twitter.
I don't know if that's true. And not to name drop, but I was talking to my friend Johnny Silverman the other day. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. So you glue people's mouths shut?
Well, naturally your mouth would just fall open.
Yes, you'd be surprised you were dead. Ah, I can't believe I'm dead.
So
you would be in shock.
You got to stem that by sealing that up.
Are you? So what sort of weird? I just want to know some of the ins and outs of what's going to happen
to you when you die.
Yeah.
Well, depending on where you die and how old you are when you die, there's a couple things that could happen. If you're a younger guy, say you die today.
Okay.
Say you die right now.
Oh, my exploding anus.
He died. Then the coroner would come. The L.A. County Coroner.
Oh, because they have to do some sort of investigation. Because it's not normal for someone my age to die.
Murdered.
Right.
So that would happen. And then
by a rival podcast.
And then the funeral home would get the call from the family, and then they would get the body released from the coroner. And then that process would start where they had the family come in for arrangements, and then, you know, the funeral happens.
All right. So all that paperwork stuff sounds great. But I want to know what happens, like, once the body's in. You must have seen some insane stuff.
I've seen, I've seen a lot of things, accident victims and the like.
What about the time that you tried to push a body onto its back? A dead body?
No, that is this the okay. That wasn't me. That was Dickie and that was the older guys, older funeral home guys. But what happened was they went to get a body from a what seemed like an arson. So the hospital, the police called them to take them to the coroner's office. So said, come in, get this body. So they go and they're like, oh, it's you know right there on this burned out mattress. So why don't you guys go ahead and take care of that, and we'll do some other stuff, take some pictures of the burn, and see if we can solve this arson. So then they go to move the body, roll him over, and there is a knife in his chest.
Oh!
So they say, oh, well, there's a knife here, and then the guy, the police are like, all right, don't touch anything. And then murder investigation.
Yeah.
Well, the fire could have just blown that. Still didn't turn off his fucking phone.
Yeah. What is?
I'm sorry.
You have a silent function, right?
What's that? I don't know how this thing works.
Then how's he supposed to show off his fucking TARDIS ringtone?
Show off.
I got that from him.
Really?
He gave me. He made it and gave it to me.
My ringtone is the Mega Man 2 theme song.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah. I guess that's cool. If you don't like Doctor Who, whatever.
If I called you right now, would that go off?
No, because I put it on airplane mode because I could do it. Go for it. It's a really fucking. I'll just fucking bring it up because I love it. I don't answer my phone sometimes because it's fucking. Because
you just rock out. You know, you could just listen to it online. Somebody's calling Jonah.
There we go.
Here comes another call for you. Somebody's calling Jonah. Is
right,
it
here's
Mega
my favorite part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see why that's your favorite.
Yeah, yeah. It's good.
All right, so.
Oh, there's another time, though. He told me this a long time ago where it's like you pushed a body's arm or something like that. And
oh,
then,
be careful of, you know. So this person had been dead for a few days, maybe a week or so. It was summer. It was hot. So you have to be careful, apparently, because I went to move and the arm and sort of the skin kind of came off like a sleeve.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of like, let's move that back and then.
Little tip out there for the kids. If you're handling a dead body after a couple of years, make sure the skin doesn't sleeve off.
Yeah, you know, when you're going to go see the dead body of a kid named Ray Brower, best not to fucking touch it.
Doom, 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 doom.
You know, I learned a lot that summer.
Doom.
How flesh can just come off so easily, like a sleeve on an arm, and how the flesh underneath it becomes gray and bleak.
You know, if I were gonna write some really good Time Lord fan fiction, I would make River Phoenix the body they're going to see, and just fucking bend everyone's mind.
Yeah, he'd break it.
I would. Right. So, are you, Matthew? Are you okay with death now? I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't freak you out. Very desensitized to it. Although I suppose if someone were very, very close to me were to die, it probably would still affect me.
But do you have any sort of dark, lingering hopelessness for your own mortality?
No. Am I worried about personally dying? No.
Yeah. Does it freak you out?
No.
And does it?
I kind of worry about like John and Joe having to carry my body because it's very heavy.
You know what though? I tell you, you've lost some weight. You look really good.
I was actually. I was thinking. I noticed that today. You're looking.
I felt
good,
my collarbone for the first time in 3 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. What remember that? This? I remember being able to feel that.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's great.
But yeah, you know. So I would be weirded out. That's what would weird me out is Joe and like the funeral home taking care of my body.
Yeah, but I want to know like how did it like affect your thoughts about like the idea of an afterlife or just like does death just
I've
become like
it,
a
it's
flesh?
Turned into a Yeah, it's turned into a clinical thing for me now. Yeah. And I don't. Not everybody shares that opinion that works in the funeral industry. But for me, it's sort of just like you're born, you live, you die. And it's all like a chemical process to me.
Yeah.
And it's sort of just, do I have any thoughts about the afterlife? Not particularly. Would it surprise me if there was an afterlife? No. But would it surprise me if there was nothing? No, that wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, some people say like, really, Sue, it doesn't freak you, to me, this is, it doesn't freak you out that, you know, because I feel like, well, when you die, the lights turn off.
Sure.
Yeah. And people are like, well, it doesn't freak you out that you might still be, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't have any consciousness before.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I assume it will probably just be the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't worry about dying, you guys. Yeah, don't worry about it.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, so you have to enjoy your burrito.
Carl Sagan wasn't scared of dying.
No.
No, he knew it was all part of the process.
Yep.
For thousands of years,
guys,
people
wise,
have wondered about the universe. Did it stretch on forever? Yeah.
Wise man named Dave Matthews.
Symphony of Science. Said, Symphony of Science. You have to check it out.
Eat, yeah. Drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Granted, he didn't write that. It's an old thing from the medieval times. But
so
Dave
you're just
Matthews
saying he quoted something someone else said.
Sure.
Yeah. Wow. I can't believe I'm missing all those Dave Matthews concerts.
I can't believe you are either.
Now that I think about it, we just sit around and quote things that other people say. So maybe it's not so bad after all.
Are we having fun?
You know, like one of the nerds' mutant powers is hypocrisy. Like, oh, I totally just shit on a guy for something I do all the time. Yeah. So,
Jonah, are you comfortable sharing the name of your book?
Oh yeah, the autobiography at the end of my life is going to be called A Series of Recycled Movie References.
You're gonna write it.
That's pretty much. That's like I realize when I'm hanging out with my friends, I'm funny because I say lines from movies that correspond to what's happening at the moment. I think I've done that many times on this podcast.
Hey, Jonah, don't cross the streams.
Cross the streams.
Good follow-up.
Oh, did you see the third McBusters?
Yes, it was great.
It was great.
Yeah, our friend Mike Chillian made the three McBusters, which is a McDonald's Ghostbusters mashup for Channel 101. Yeah. And I did the voice of Morgan Spurlock. Poorly, I would say.
And if you want to hear that, go to Tweaked Audio. Get yourself some nice headphones.
Yeah, you would just have to go to tweakedaudio.com/nerdist.
And then listen to McBusters.
Let's not get too overboard. I'm going to get the emails from people like, yeah, you're okay. You know, I was okay with a little bit of sponsorship, but take it down a notch.
Sorry.
But yeah, that was great. It was like 12 minutes long, and it ended with that meme face, the fuck.
It was great.
It was fucking perfect.
Yeah, he did a really great
job.
Really
check that out.
Well, if we sound better right now, by the way, it's because we're in an actual radio station facility, which I will be able to use from time to time for us.
On weekends.
Monday, I mean, Sundays is nice.
Sundays is nice, yeah.
Ironically, whenever Seacrest is out.
Yep. Yeah. That's right, because this is mainly his facility. And he's very kind to let us use it. I think he knows we're using it.
No longer at Comcast.
We are at
NBC Uni. NBC Uni. Yeah. But this totally reminds me, I worked at the station in LA called K-Rock in the 90s, and from midnight to 5, I was alone and ran the board, and so this all looks very familiar.
Did you have to get certified to do that?
Yeah, you have to get a license, and the way that it worked was Jenny McCarthy and I went on Kevin and Bean to promote the premiere of Singled Out, and I don't, for whatever reason, the program director, Kevin Weatherly, was like, do you want a job? And I said, sure. And so I concurrently did Singled Out and worked at K-Rock. So it was like I was shooting during the day and then working midnight to 5 at the radio station.
What time would you shoot Singled Out usually?
Well, we only did 3 days a week. And so I tried to stagger it so it wasn't the same days. But there was a lot of crossover. But we would work from like 10 to 5 or 6. And then I would have enough time to, you know, get some dinner, hang out, and then get to K-Rock.
But you're not sleeping.
I was not sleeping. No, I was not sleeping.
That's radio for the most part, right?
Awful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was fun, you know. It was fun. I mean, the main reason to work at K-Rock, especially then, because K-Rock was really directing music at that time. I mean, I remember I was in Weatherly's office once, and he was blasting the song, and he was like, "Hey, what do you think of this?" And it was "Lump" by the President of the United States of America. Nice. I was like, "That sounds awesome!" And then the next week, they were huge.
Yeah.
So it was a really fun time, and then you get to go to concerts and
all the Weenie Roast and stuff like
that. You would pick shows that artists you would like, and you'd say, "Hey, I want to do the on stage for that," so you would get to come out and introduce.
So how many Dave Matthews shows did you do the on stage for?
I guess upwards of zero. But I was forced to do a Bad Religion on stage once.
There you go.
Not my demo.
You're going to do the Bad Religion one.
And I had to. Yeah, because you had to do a couple of months.
Well, the guys in the band are probably your demo. Just nerdy.
Yeah. But their audience.
No.
Like, I go on stage at what is now the Avalon.
The Palace at the time.
And already I work for two institutions that these people think fucking blows. MTV and K-Rock. So I come out. And instantly people were like, fuck you!
Yeah.
And I had to come out after they'd been waiting 20 minutes and say the band was going to be another half hour.
Oh.
I've never seen more objects fly at me at one time.
What year was that?
That was 97, maybe.
Oh,
and
yeah, that was around the time American Jesus and shit like that. It was like their kind of resurgence into the mainstream.
I guess. I mean, it all sort of blurs together, but I did get hit in the face with cups and gum, which was fun.
Cups and gum.
Getting hit in the face.
There's actually a really funny extra on the Pavement DVD where it's like a guy from K-Rock going out to introduce Pavement and everyone's just yelling at him because he's
they don't want you there.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't blame him. Fuck me. They don't need me there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why do they don't need anybody there, really.
They just came to see the band they paid for.
What Dave Matthews does, he comes out and introduces the opening act.
Yeah, just like Jay Leno comes and introduces himself, you know, in the beginning of a show.
This is not about Jay Leno.
I would love, do you think Leno will start opening for Dave Matthews?
I hope so.
That would be
same demographic, right? Same demographic?
Very similar, Jonah. Very similar.
A lot of the same kind of assholes listening. Yeah.
Monica Lewinsky crashed into President Clinton's. You're still doing the Monica Lewinsky jokes.
It's time for headlines and these crazy things.
Sometimes people misprint things and ads. Yeah.
Doing a lot of misunderstandings.
Do you guys want to answer? You know, the funeral home thing. I feel like we will have to keep
more
to keep digging.
It'll be like a series, guys. Listen in,
because I'm fascinated by it. But I do want to get some emails because some people sent some emails in, and these guestless podcasts are an excellent opportunity to talk to you, the listener.
It's like we're on Zoom and we're opening the mailbag.
Matthew Robbins writes in, when are you going to have David Tennant on the show to ask him about pre, during, post-doctor stuff? And his role as Barty Crouch
Jr. So what's it like knocking up your daughter?
And Matt,
what?
He is engaged to Peter Davison's daughter, and Davison is one of the older doctors.
Yeah, they're not really,
it's a documentary.
No, it's real life.
So, Matthew, so this comes from Matthew, who is at the _Ginger. All right.
Skip it.
I'll tell you, I tried to. Don't get mad at gingers. Why do you have to fucking shit on gingers?
I don't. I just.
I don't. I just do.
It's just like, yeah.
Donna Noble was a ginger.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to get David Tennant. I did. I cold called his agent's office, and I thought I was in. So I call his agent's office, and I get the agent's information from SAG or something, and so I call and I get this really nice British sounding assistant. Hello, so-and-so's office. Yes, I'd like to speak to this person, please. It's Chris Hardwick calling. Oh, Chris, great. Yeah, sure. You know, he's in a meeting right now. I'll have him call you later. And so I instantly think, oh my God, am I famous enough that I could just call any agency and they know who I am? I feel like I have accomplished something in my life. An hour later, I get a call. Chris, I forgot to ask, who are you and what is this regarding? We're like, fuck, I'm busted. So I was like, well, I tried to tie it in with Web Soup too. I'm like, well, you know, I do this show called Web Soup and I have this podcast and I want to, you know, whenever you say podcast to anyone, you know, who kind of in the entertainment business right now, you can almost feel their interest meter hit zero.
I'm doing a web series.
Yeah, I'm doing a web series. So we just need to, you know, we just need him to come to my mom's studio in the back garage. And so I explained it to her, and she was like, "Okay, great." And then I never heard from them again.
Yeah.
So you want to blame someone why David Tennant's not coming on the podcast because his agent won't call me back.
And
but you know, rightfully
him.
So, he doesn't know who
him.
I am.
Yeah.
He doesn't know who I am. He's fucking wrong, and he should come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should.
And if David Tennant ever comes, you know what? His agent's just doing his job by not responding to people that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Because he's clearly not in the digital loop and doesn't know what's fucking happening in podcasting.
This is what it sounds like.
One year, motherfucker. One fucking year.
Yeah, 1 year and 60 episodes.
Do you know how many? We did almost 6 million downloads in the last year.
We are.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed.
I am impressed with myself. Let's all just circle jerk on each other while we pat each other on the back. We'll create a pinwheel, a merry-go-round, if you will.
Pinwheel.
So that's the David Tennant. You know, if we're a little cockier than normal, it's only because it's our 1 year anniversary. We're very excited about
the David
being
Tennant
here.
Conundrum, which it sounds like an episode of Doctor Who.
The David Tennant Conundrum. All right, the next email is from Charles Dickerson.
I love it.
Lie.
Hey guys, I started listening on the Donal Logue episode and have since went back and listened to almost all episodes, but
interesting one to start.
I listen on iTunes and I do not have an episode 29. My iTunes goes from 28. Rich Summer to 30 Mythbusters.
Okay.
Just wondering if that's my iTunes or just what?
Mysterious.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I wish I knew what episode 29 was. So yeah, I
think
like
about
a
it.
Make up a reason.
It's like the 13th floor. It's a mysterious.
Yeah.
It is a Nerdist podcast mystery that will endure for the ages.
Guys, if we get past episode 60 without one of us leaving the podcast, it'll be a miraculous thing.
Yeah, that's true. We did it!
With that said, Guys, I think we've had a lot of fun, but I got nowhere to go.
I knew this was coming.
I got nowhere to go.
Why does everything I love turn to shit? It's me, isn't it? It's me.
No, Chris, Jonah and I still love each other very much.
All right. Sam Brown writes, Nerd Host, my friends and I have some of the funniest conversations, and we thought it would be fun to memorialize them in short podcasts. Mm-hmm. However, none of us know much about recording other than the audio test with a sexy British lady in Skype. What would you suggest we use to record a podcast? Something cheap and easy would be great, but we don't want to sacrifice much quality.
Get a Zoom H2.
The Zoom H2 is cheaper. The Zoom H2 is only $149, I think. But the Zoom H4n is $100 more, but it is way better because it has external XLR inputs.
Or just, like, you know, if you're just starting out and you don't want to put a lot of money in it, just, like, get a USB. Crowd around your fucking laptop and open up GarageBand.
You know why I think they should buy the H4n? Because then they're making an investment. And they will feel
that they have
a responsibility to do something with it.
Honestly, I would say get a board. Get a small mixer for $100.
These are kids. These like just like you know.
No. Don't worry about the mixer yet. Just get the Zoom H4n. If your podcasts start going well, we don't have a mixer. You can't tell other people we have a mixer now because we're in a radio station.
No, but like you know,
and it broke.
This is like you know, just a fucking
and then got stolen.
DIY. Just fucking open up any kind of recording device on your phone or computer and just fucking start recording.
If you don't have a Mac and you can't use GarageBand, use Audacity.
Start. Right. Yeah, Audacity works great.
It's free.
Upload your MP. Sign up for Libsyn. LYBSIN.com. Upload your stuff there. They will syndicate your podcast to an RSS and to iTunes, and then you'll be off and running. Yeah, you could literally do it in a fucking day. You could wake up in the morning, buy the equipment, record it, post it in the afternoon, and by the evening you will have a podcast out in the world.
And if there's a bunch of you on one mic, get a Snowball.
Yeah, USB Snowball. Exactly.
I can't stress this enough. When people say, how do I do this? How do I start doing stand-up? How do I do a podcast?
Just fucking do
You just fucking do it. There's no simpler reason than that. If you think about it too much, you'll never do it. You'll talk yourself out of it. You just have to start it. Starting is the most important thing you can do with any weird goal that you have. You just have to just make some choice in the direction of where you want to go.
Starting is half the battle.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's like there are more reasons.
And then shooting people with lasers.
There are more reasons to not do these things than to do them. So if you think about it, you're just going to think of all those reasons not to do it. So just don't think about it and go and
just
do it.
Just do it.
Yeah. It's like when Billy Mitchell wouldn't go see Steve Weeb. And they were like,
Steve Weeby. Why? How could you fucking do that?
For Billy Mitchell. I did it for him. I'm a sympathizer.
No. Is that no, weird? I think you messed up and now you're trying to turn it into something else.
No.
Steve Weeby.
Whatever.
There's even a scene where, like, you know, fucking Walter Day is in King of Kong is going, Steve Weeb, everybody. He's like, Weeby. It's Weeby. And then, like, they're like, oh, we've been saying it wrong the whole time.
Just you just have to remember you just have to remember the cover of Lean on Me. We be jamming. We be jamming.
What is the
don't
other
be a,
guy's name?
Don't
Steve
be a
Harris?
Mitchell apologist, all right?
it's all Michael,
he,
I thought.
That's all he has.
All right. Tom Fratz, Fratz.
I once frazzed in my pants. It was a fucking horrible night.
A Fratz is one step up from a shard, like a shard is just a little bit comes up, but a Fratz is just like a
Fratz.
Yeah. It's just like a Jackson Pollock in the back of your under trousers.
Sorry, Tom.
So, Tom, you have a great last name. My last name's Hardwick. There's no worse last name than that.
Yeah.
All right. Who are some unhit musicians other than DMB? That's what he wrote. Don't go anywhere. We'd be surprised you liked. Think Bush, Semisonic, or other mid-90s mediocrity.
With Dave Matthews Band, I can't say one that you'd be surprised by.
Yeah, it's true. With I think, music, every band can have good songs. Bush is not a good band, but they got a couple good songs. Stone Temple Pilots, not a good band.
No, you're wrong. They are a fucking great band.
They have some good songs.
They're an awesome band.
Rolling Stones, not a good band. They got a lot of great songs.
I'm telling you, STP is a fucking great band. They're a great rock band. I've seen them live, and they're fucking awesome.
I think
if Scott didn't have so many crazy drug problems, I think they would have done a lot better. And I was a skeptic because I worked at K-Rock when Stone Temple Pilots broke, and it was like, oh, everyone's signing a fucking Eddie Vedder. And they totally went in a different direction. I am a supporter of the Stone Temple Pilots.
There are good songs. There's like Days of the Week is awesome because it sounds like the opening to a 90s sitcom. You know, Sour Girl is like a fucking, it's a good jam. You know,
Interstate
like,
Love Song?
Interstate Love. Yeah, they got good songs, but they're not a good band.
And then they did their Unplugged and he was in a fucking giant sweater and a rocking chair with no shoes.
Yeah, exactly. But like hit bands that are, I mean, I don't know.
Conversations Kill.
I don't know.
Conversations Kill.
jail. Time to take her home, her knees are here.
Yeah, so there's your answer.
Well, the dogs are fighting her. Got time to whip for tomorrow. Find her.
All right.
Find her.
I guess if people really want to listen to that song, they would just download it.
No.
I got to tell you, I mean, there were so many when I think back to like bands in the 90s that I heard their song. They're like, yeah, that song's awesome. Hemorrhage by Fuel, I really liked.
I don't know that one.
Jamiroquai.
Yeah, Virtual Insanity is a fun song, but Jamiroquai has some okay disco beats.
I missed out on a lot of that.
Dishwalla? Dishwalla?
Counting Blue Cars. I missed out on a lot of like 90s stuff eventually because like I just like got so into like listening to punk rock, and then like it infects your head and you go like, I'm not listening.
Yeah,
to
I hit my Radiohead phase in like 98, and then yeah. I didn't
Marcy Playground is better than
I loved Marcy Playground. Marcy Playground was a fucking great band.
Juliana Hatfield, the Only Everything album is a fucking great album. And also like That Dog, they're a great 90s band.
Say Ferris, people enjoyed. Ferris.
Yeah.
There is a song that I'm thinking of that is God damn it. I don't want you to quit the podcast when I tell you this, but I have always enjoyed this one song by a band that is, I can't even say it. Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. Okay?
Oh yeah, no, those are good songs.
Okay.
Bad band, good songs.
Boy, they're Behind the Music was hilarious.
I didn't
because
watch it.
Their Behind the Music was nothing it? Really dramatic happened. But that was a period where they ran out of classic bands like Fleetwood Mac. Like, and then Stevie Nicks and Mick Fleetwood had to break the news that they were having an affair to Lindsey Buckingham. And then people were blowing coke in their eyes and assholes. But Goo Goo Dolls, their big conflict was like, Johnny Resnick has writer's block.
What's your favorite Behind the Music?
The Fleetwood Mac one was awesome.
Def Leppard. I loved the Def Leppard.
Oh, yeah. The best, most feel-good Behind the Music is Huey Lewis and the News. It's because they get to a point where like, hey, you know, people weren't really coming out to shows as much or buying our records, so we thought we'd kind of take a quit for a bit. Yeah, we're all still friends. We hang out. And then it's just fucking Huey Lewis coaching his kids' like soccer team or something like that.
They just seem like cool dudes.
Yeah, they all just seem like guys that were just like, hey, this was a fun ride.
Well, you probably like their album because it's called Sports, and I know how much you love sports.
I like to think that
here's
it's ironic.
Here's how much we love sports, guys. It's Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I am not exaggerating when I say this. I'm not 100% sure who's playing in the Super Bowl.
It's the yellow and blacks and then the other color scheme.
Are the Jets in the Super Bowl?
Nope.
Okay. I honestly don't know
who's... It might be fun if you were to just try and guess. I'll give you three more guesses as to
the
one team in the Super Bowl.
New England Patriots.
Nope.
No,
I wouldn't be here if they were playing.
Okay. Still game plan was starting yet.
The Racine Footballers.
The Racine.
Racine, Wisconsin doesn't have a football team? Well, I'm out.
They have the Racine Bells in the league of their own.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
was it the Bells or was it the Peaches?
The Racine Bells were the other team that they played in the World
Series. The Rockville Peaches. They were the Rockville Peaches.
Yeah, and then Lori Petty went to Racine, right?
P.S. guys, there's no crying in baseball. Movie quotes!
That's one of my favorite movies, The League of Their Own. I think I've said that before.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
The first ever time I was attracted to a lady was Gina Davis.
Like, before that, it was all dudes, right?
I was like, I don't know how old I was when that movie came out. 9 maybe, but then I had a dream about it.
You had a Gina Davis boner? Yeah. I had a serious Gina Davis boner in The Fly.
Oh, yes.
Especially where she and Jeff Goldblum have that really great scene where they're doing it.
Gina
when
Davis,
she gets pregnant with his maggot baby.
You're
maggot
in Mensa. Baby. Why don't you come on our show?
Seriously.
Who?
And then on my Gina junk. Davis. Come on, everybody.
Set it up. I don't know why I keep doing that. But I can't go.
Racine Bells and the Rockford Peaches.
Yeah,
I honestly don't know who's playing in the Super Bowl.
It would be the Jonah. Do you know
the Steelers?
Yes,
and
the Weavers.
No, it can't be the Eagles.
No,
The
Narwhals. Yeah. Is there a Narwhal team? That'd
there
be a great
be.
Mascot.
Should
yeah,
be
exactly. I don't know the other one.
The Alaska Narwhals.
Only reason I know about the Pittsburgh Steelers is because Anthony Jeselnik, a very funny comedian, is obsessed with them and like texted me making fun of me, saying like it's like, hey, asshole, I know you don't care, but my team's going to fucking win the Super Bowl.
The team you don't play for?
Yeah.
Or have anything to do with?
Yeah, the team is the Green Bay Packers.
Ah, yes, the old green and white.
I was not far off with Racine.
That's true.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
sure.
Take that.
Small victories.
I don't remember who played last year. I just don't care about football. I don't care about sports. I
don't either.
It's just a thing where if I can't see myself doing it, it doesn't interest me. That's how narcissistic I am.
I remember the Saints. The Saints won the Super Bowl last
year. And I remember there's a lot of people go like, oh, I don't like watching sports either, but I like the Super Bowl because of the commercials. Guess what? The commercials fucking suck too.
Hey, guess what? You can see them online.
Yeah. Oh, well, there goes your fucking barbecue party.
You know, I swear to God, that last year's Budweiser commercial with those guys getting hurt and then yelling, I'm good, immediately after, I feel like they ripped off my video of me getting hit by a golf cart.
It's all going to boil down to that, isn't it?
Okay, that's it. I've said my piece.
There's a video online, if you have never seen Matthew before, where he is...
That's at the funeral home.
At the funeral home. They have a golf cart, so they can, I guess, because a lot of old people drop dead
property,
on golf courses.
Big property.
And
you
so
go
you have to go pick them up. And then you strap their corpses in the back where the golf bags go.
Yeah, exactly.
Two at a time.
And then you have a death caddy who comes and...
Death caddy for cutie.
Yep.
That's for you, Jonathan.
Thanks.
And then... So at the funeral home, they're driving up a dirt hill, and Matthew, the cart gets stuck, so Matthew gets in the back and starts bouncing up and down on it.
To unwedge it, which I succeeded.
It rolls back down the hill, Matthew falls, it rolls over him, and then and there's a moment where everyone's like, well, it's convenient that we're all at a funeral home.
Yeah.
But then Matthew's like, I'm okay.
Yeah, instantly, like, you just basically go, oh, and then you hear him go, I'm okay.
Yeah. So you survived.
Yeah. It's really, you could find that if you Google... Fat guy golf cart.
It's not a nice Google chain
idiot
that you would have to enter.
Fat guy golf cart.
Yeah,
and a lot of the comments, people are like, "That's Matt Myra," spelling it with a Y because they've never seen the name spelled.
Well,
hey, at least they know.
At least they know that you almost gave your life for no reason.
Go to the internets and look that up.
In the McDonald funeral home. I think we're good this week. I think we got through a lot of good stuff on the Guestless podcast. We answered a few emails. Mm-hmm. Talked about your funeral home thing. We got a sponsor. We're going to get you out of the job that you're in and start paying you for this goddamn podcast. And we're going to do we're going to put a date on it.
What's the date?
A couple months from now. We have to see if we can sustain sponsorships.
Let's guilt sponsors into like giving us money.
We actually what we need to do is guilt listeners into buying things from sponsors so that some sponsors will want to.
Seriously,
if you want to advertise the podcast, podcast@nerdist.com is the email.
Buy t-shirts.
You can buy t-shirts or whatever. Tweakedaudio.com/nerdist. Come see me at the Wilbur Theater April 9th.
Seriously.
But honestly, Matthew, I feel like you are working full-time for other people, and you're a funny guy, and you deserve to be either at least writing in comedy, not if not performing, which I think you should do too, because you're very funny. And so I feel like, you know, we need to provide that for you. We need to be able to give
and
you money.
And really, they win too, because they get my... brain.
But I feel like I have a spiritual mission to do this for you because I don't want to see you get trapped in a job. I know you're good at working on computers, but
so good
you're
at it,
funny
you
and God damn it, you are gonna be my mission. You're gonna be one of my missions to get you out of that job and be a paid performer / writer because you're too good to not have that.
Do you want to get on that?
Will be helping you?
Yep.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm trying.
No, he's on it.
I'm trying.
We're on it.
I'm trying. Chris has done.
Oh, you guys are definitely both trying.
You should listen to Chris, though. Chris is, you know, the reason that I even like have an extended career.
Oh, I do listen to Chris.
Yeah.
Well, it helps that you're talented and funny, Jonah.
Yeah, but you know, I was stuck at that really shitty show, and then you recommended me for Web Soup, and I was like, I don't know. And you're like, you just take it, just take it. And then I went and. It was the best decision I ever made.
Sometimes it's scary to make that leap.
I could not be happier on the Nerdist podcast.
Well, I could not be happier that you guys have stuck with this for the last year. I love you in a very creepy way, both of you at the same time. And I hope we keep doing
really
these.
Really comes through in his hugs, you guys.
comes through. No, those are lifesavers.
10 seconds. You got to hold.
Those are lifesavers. Down there.
Yeah, no,
it's a soup can in my pocket.
This whole thing, this past year has been crazy. You know, like I've started this the day after I went out with my girlfriend, who I
congratulations on your anniversary with Deanna.
And it's like it's been a great year, and you guys have been a big part of it, and it's awesome to be your friends.
It is. It's a good time.
This is getting really mushy, and I apologize.
No, I think it's good.
They need to know that we all genuinely like each other.
And thank you to the people who listening who continue to support the podcast and told their friends about it and helped us get to a place where we can actually
still
start
doing this podcast after 60 episodes, because we understand that Chris would be the host without us.
No, yeah. People prefer the episodes when you guys are on. When I do solo ones, they're like, "Where's Matt and Jonah?" And they're right. It's a better dynamic.
Well,
it's a better dynamic.
They can't tell us apart, so really.
Sometimes they can. This is Matt talking.
This is Jonah talking.
Let's say
things more conducive to how we are. If you hear someone say something like this, "Shut the fuck up, Matt." That would probably be me, Jonah Ray.
And if you hear someone go, "I'm sorry, Jonah."
There you go.
It's me.
And if you hear someone drop someone's name or talk about himself, that's me, Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. I'm the guy. Jonah Ray is the guy that says like
we
a
need
bit
to,
too much.
We need to have this.
Jonah Ray is suffering a little hipsterism, and Chris Hardwick is
Chris,
sometimes
irritating.
What did you always used to say that people got on you for?
Amazing.
Amazing.
Literally amazing.
I got a bunch of people thought they heard my voice on the D&D episode of.
I heard that too. I mean, people said that to me too, that they thought you were.
Yeah,
on
I saw that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, some guy's like, "Were you on the episode?" I was like, "Do people think I'm Fat Neil?"
Somebody asked you. Somebody asked if you or I were laughing at Doug Loves Movies last week.
Were you there?
I wasn't there.
No, neither was I.
Inside.
We're always on the inside.
All right, Geek Crest out. I want to be Geek Crest.
Geek Crest?
Geek Crest.
Nice.
I'll just be Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, I should say that it was very fun at Sketchfest meeting all of you wonderful people that came to our show.
Yes,
we already
know
you. Oh, you mean the people who came to Sketchfest show?
Yeah.
I don't understand how words work.
They're awesome.
Yeah, it really was. Sketchfest was a blast, and thanks to everyone who came out. The Zach podcast was super fun. I mean, it's already gone up by now, but
enjoy.
But just in general, just hanging out with comics and having a good time. So you know what? Even if we seem mushy today, fuck it. Have a nice positive day. You don't have to be cynical all the time. Sometimes you can enjoy things, and that's okay.
Enjoy it. Enjoy. If you're out there and you're stuck in the snow, just remember it quiets everything.
Microwave a burrito and enjoy it. Enjoy your microwaved burrito.
There you go.
I'd prefer a fresh one, but...
Well, most of the country.
Yeah, microwave one. If you're in Boston, Anna's Taqueria, my favorite burritos in America.
I will go there.
Anna's Taqueria.
Okay.
Go.
Thanks, everybody.
Taqueria.
And
Taqueria.
To another year.
When you're sliding into first and you're feeling something burst, Taqueria.
Bap, bap.
Taqueria.
Bap, bap.
To another year, hopefully.
To another year, hopefully.
Hopefully. Does he know something?
Well, no, I
don't understand.
All I'm saying is you're both fired.
Oh.
No, I want to keep doing these. It's my intention to keep doing these as long as we can.
It's not like it takes that much effort.
No, you're right.
That's true. It's just we'd hang out anyway, so.
Yeah. Well, we would.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Enjoy your burrito?
Yes. A proper enjoy your burrito.
Seriously. Enjoy your burrito. It's got time and chunks of delicious cheese.
And it's
guacamole.
Go to Anna's Taqueria, everybody.
God, stop it.
Seriously. Get a super carnitas.
Stop shucking for people that don't give
us
money.
I want to form Stone Taqueria Pilots.
Bang!
Where we just sing songs about Mexican food.
I want to share things I like with them.
All right, you've shared. And we are leaving. EYB.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
It's win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying, lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT. Stream free on Amazon Freevee or Prime Video.